This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Spy Fat Chicks. And we are coming to you from the Coffee Culture coffee shop downtown Oshawa on King Street,
corner of King and Prince.
Yes. And we just ate some of their delicious scones, and we're drinking some of their delicious coffee. I ordered an Americano Long. And what did you order?
Oh, just coffee. Extra large, a little bit of sugar.
Oh,
I know. That's the suck. Well, I don't have any lactate on me, so I'm not going to get anything with milk in it.
The eggnog lattes look pretty good, though.
I know. I need to pick some lactate up this week, because there's a bevy of creamy, delicious goodness for Christmas coming up that I need to enjoy, but
a bevy
anything
of beverages
to make me enjoy them better, so.
To let you digest them?
Yes.
So it's a very special day today.
I'm old today.
Tracy and I are officially the same age for 1 week until the 26th, when I turn a year older. So this is Tracy's special day.
Yay, my special day. Don't ruin my special day.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm kidding. And we decided to go out. Well, I got to pick where we went. And at first, we were going to go out to Port Perry and get food at this one haunted place, the Jester's Pub?
The Jester's Court.
The Jester's Court. And then I was like, I don't know. And then there was a sushi place I wanted to try. And then we looked at Port Perry, and we're like, we could drive all the way out there. And I don't know, gas, blah, blah, blah. So we decided to stay closer to home. We went to Whitby to a sushi place that has actually been recommended to us by a bunch of people.
Yeah. Everybody pretty much that I know from my old crowd has been like, ooh, try this place.
Yeah, well, you like sushi, you need to go here. So we went to Sushi Mountain, and it is on Dundas?
Yeah.
Dundas Street East, excuse me. It's on the corner of Dundas and Fixin, so it's definitely in Whitby, not in Oshawa. It's maybe 5 minutes from where we live, though. It's very close.
Yeah.
And it's so cute, because it's one half of a small building, and the other half is a fish and chips place. It's called the Flying Fish, which
yeah.
makes me think of the place in Morgantown.
The Flying Fish.
But then also, they have this huge fish on the roof of the building.
Like a big inflatable thing. And then it's got one of its logos is the little fugu, the
yeah.
little puffer fish.
But that's how we knew that was the place, because everybody had said, you know, the place with the fish on the roof. We're like, oh yeah.
It's really one of those landmarks that actually becomes quite famous.
It's totally eye-catching. So, and it is a small place when you walk in. There's maybe a dozen tables, you think?
Yeah, probably.
Maybe.
I'm just still totally amused at the fact that it's like, want your fish cooked? Turn to the right. Want your fish raw? Turn to the left.
Yes. And it is. Now, they have a regular menu, but really, they only brought us the all-you-can-eat menu. They didn't bring us a regular menu to order things a la carte, which is fine. They do a lunch buffet and a dinner buffet, and I was a little hesitant at first, though it was overcome by the fact it was sushi and I didn't care. I would be willing to suffer. That I was worried. I thought, oh, I don't know, sushi buffet, sushi out on a buffet. I'm sure they've taken the appropriate precautions to make sure it's fresh, but you don't know.
It still makes you leery.
And we walked in and it was really tiny, and I looked around, I'm like, I don't see a buffet around here. And then they brought us slips of paper, just like they do when you go for a hot pot.
Yeah.
And you have a little, like, card that you fill out everything you want on it.
And a golf pencil.
And a golf pencil. And you fill everything out that you want on it, and then they whisk the little card away, and then food starts to come to you, and that's the buffet.
Yeah. They give you a stack, so you can order as many times as you want. They just ask that you not waste anything and order what you're not going to eat, because there's no takeout, I don't think, and they charge you by the piece if you don't finish it.
Yes. So make sure you finish what you order. Don't go crazy. But, you know, you can order a little bit and then see how full you are, then order a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it's a nice pacer, too.
That's
you know,
the way buffets really should be.
Yes.
To be
not racing up to finish the next plate. I can eat more than you can. No, you can't. Oh, watch me.
Nom, nom, nom.
I'm on my fifth plate. Bye. So, yeah. But it was, I like the way they did it because you didn't have to worry about anything being fresh because they had the poor, like, cadre of sushi guys behind the counter just working frantically. And we also have to tell you that when we walked in, it opened at 11:30. We got there right around noon.
Yeah.
And there were maybe two tables seated. So we walked in and sat down. And then this, like, group of six hardy Russian guys walked in and sat down all together, and these were big guys, and they proceeded to order like everything, I think.
Yeah.
Because we're sitting there, and like we filled out our little card and we handed it in, and our food started to come out, and then I look over and these guys got this huge, the biggest plate of shrimp tempura I've ever seen in my life. It was like a mountain of shrimp tempura.
It's like, if you wouldn't have told me that was shrimp tempura, I wouldn't have believed it, because usually you don't see tempura in that large of amount.
Usually you see like three or four pieces, right? There was
right.
like 20 on the plate.
I'm like, yeah.
Kind of in awe, I'm like, wow, that's a lot of shrimp tempura, and it just like disappeared. I blinked and it was gone, and the guys were like, ah, no, blah, 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 nom, nom, nom.
Russian, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah. So then we're eating our stuff, and it was, we'll get to what the food was like later. And then I look over again, and Sheila had gotten up to go to the bathroom, and we had just ordered a plate of nigiri, which are the, if you haven't heard the sushi episode or you've forgotten, nigiri's where it's the piece of raw fish on top of a little formed pile of
a cylinder of rice.
A cylinder of rice, thank you. So we had ordered some nigiri, and ours came out. And then I look over, and they had gotten a plate of, it was all salmon nigiri. And it was the most salmon nigiri I've ever seen in my one life in one place before. There must have been like 16, 20 pieces of salmon nigiri on one plate.
It was like if Costco was going to sell a plate of sushi, that's what it would look like.
Yes, and it was also uniform. It almost looked like play food, or like it should be miniaturized, and you could buy it at that little place that sells miniatures at Pacific Mall. I was in awe of it.
I've never
so
seen
cool.
that much sushi in one place at one time.
But that's also going to explain the fact that we had these six hungry guys ordering all of this food. It's going to explain a lot of what we saw and what we ate, too, later on. So first, we had ordered, we got the tamago, because we always get tamago.
Always.
Yeah. Mm. They don't call it tamago on the menu, though.
They just call it egg.
It's just egg pieces of sushi. That's the tamago. We gotten the salmon right away. We'd also gotten
yellowtail.
We didn't get the yellowtail until later.
Yeah, it was red snapper that we got later.
Red snapper. We'd gotten spicy tuna. We had gotten this weird...
Is it called the kamikaze roll?
Actually, I have the menu right here, so let me take a look here. Yes, kamikaze roll. And we also had the sweet potato tempura roll. That was the sushi we ordered for our first round. And then we'd also ordered... I had ordered miso soup. Sheila didn't want any miso soup. And then they had... What was the other appetizers we got? Sweet potato tempura.
And then I wanted to try chicken katsu.
The nigiri was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just exactly what nice, big pieces that covered the whole piece of rice.
It was two-bite sushi.
Yes.
So it was the appropriate size.
Exactly. They cut the nigiri nice and thin, too, which I like a little bit better than really thick nigiri.
I think it has a better texture.
It's easier to chew.
I'm not sitting there going, I want more food. I want good food.
Well, there's not a bunch of muscle tissue to worry about.
Muscle.
There's not a bunch of muscular tissue to worry about in a fish that's going to be stringy, like in beef or something. But when you get into thicker pieces, it's a little harder to chew, and you may run into some textures that aren't ideal. So I do like the thinner cuts, and I like that they had it.
I think it's more consistent.
Thick enough to taste, but thin enough that it wasn't like nom nom. You know, too much fish.
You're eating the same piece of sushi all day.
It wasn't paper thin to be cheap, but it wasn't too thick that you weren't happy with the texture.
It was just right.
The tamago was, I thought, very good.
The tamago was good.
As good as mine. No, I'm kidding. Mine tastes good, but looks horrible. We're working on that. I liked the spicy tuna roll, but I'm a spicy tuna fan. What did you think of the kamikaze roll?
Was that the one?
No, that wasn't the one you're thinking of that we're going to talk about next. That's the one that was the big one, the special roll, and it had the different bits, tempura bits in, and it had salmon and something else in it.
That was pretty good. I liked it. I really wish that they had the barbecue eel roll.
Yeah.
Because that would have been awesome.
Well, we went for lunch because lunch is uber affordable. Dinner is a bit more. We'll talk about pricing in a minute. And they have a limited selection for the lunch menu, but it was still a great selection.
Oh, yeah.
And they even have some of the house rolls on the lunch menu, which surprised me. I fully expected to not see any house rolls on the menu.
I expected to see a couple different types of nigiri, some California rolls, some other inexpensive rolls, and then that was pretty much it.
There was about twice the selection there than I was expecting. So, now, the sweet potato tempura roll, take it away, Sheila.
Oh, goodness. Okay, now there is absolutely nothing wrong with the way that this was prepared. The review that you're about to hear is completely my own taste. I don't like mayonnaise in sushi.
Or you don't like a lot of mayonnaise in sushi.
Yeah, if there's just a little bit to make it moist, that's fine. I'll eat it. But it was like super mayonnaise-y, which some people like. And obviously that's the way this place makes it, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. This is just my personal taste. I forced myself to eat it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want any leftovers that I had to pay for.
Well, the first piece I ate was good. It wasn't really mayonnaise-y at all. It just had a good texture, good crunch, a good flavor. I'm like, this is pretty
good. It was a piece on the end.
It was, I guess. And then Sheila says something about the mayonnaise. So I'm like, really? And I look down and I can see the globs of mayonnaise on the next two pieces. I'm like, oh man. Because I don't like mayonnaise at all.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, how bad can it be? I popped the second piece in my mouth and I was like, oh.
Squish.
No. So then Sheila had to finish it off for us. It's not that it was bad, it just wasn't to our taste. We probably would not get the sweet potato tempura roll again.
So just be warned, if you don't like mayonnaise and sushi, or you don't like a lot of mayonnaise and sushi, don't get the sweet potato tempura roll.
Yeah.
If you like it, go ahead and order it, you'll love it. Again, absolutely nothing against Sushi Mountain, It wasn't that it was prepared incorrectly. It's just that particular recipe was not to my taste.
Yeah. And the kamikaze roll, just to backtrack a moment, is soup, tuna, salmon, tempura bits, and spicy sauce. So I think it's the tempura batter that's in there. That's what gave the crunchies. The crunch. But it was good.
Yeah, it was
nice. I really
nice.
Enjoyed it, yeah. And I had read online that they get a little heavy-handed with the mayonnaise at Sushi Mountain.
Oh, okay.
So I was kind of, after we had that, I was like, yeah, they do get a little heavy-handed.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Again, I don't have to get the rolls. I am totally cool with eating mostly nigiri there if there's things that are heavy in mayonnaise, because the nigiri was really good.
Yeah. And to be honest, after seeing that table of Russian guys, I was a whole lot less self-conscious about ordering plates and plates of nigiri.
Oh, yeah, I had no problem putting in a second order. I'm like, yeah, bring us some more food. We're eating less than them, because they were big strapping lads, and they were definitely sushi fans.
Yeah.
But we salute them, I mean.
Yes.
It was less it's like, wow, those guys are eating a lot, and more that they were all ordering the same thing at once. It would all come out at once. And it was just impressive to see that amount of sushi in one shot. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. It's like, it's truly, this is like the best example I could think of. And it's an example you use for something else. If you walked in and saw a 10-foot table with a big pile of white powder on it, you'd go, that's flour or sugar. You would not believe that that was like cocaine or something. Because you don't see it in that kind of volume. Usually you see it in the movies and it's a little baggy.
Yes.
You're like, that's not cocaine. That's just a big thing of cornstarch.
Yes. But that's not nigiri. That's just, oh my god, that is nigiri.
Brought out the daughter's playset. I don't know.
Well, if I'd been less self-conscious and if I'd been a more outgoing person, I would have totally walked up to their table and been like, can I just take pictures of your stuff as it comes out?
Yeah.
Because it was just impressive. But I was like too self-conscious. I'm like, oh no, I couldn't.
I didn't even think of that. It's a good thing you didn't say so. Otherwise, we'd have some pictures.
Wandered to... over, introduced yourself, and said, hey. I probably should have in retrospect because it was impressive to see that. I mean, the pile of shrimp tempura, it looked almost like a teepee of shrimp tempura. There was so much.
No, it was like
the outer parts were sticking up straight.
It was like a stack of cordwood of tempura.
Yes, it was a face cord of tempura.
I'm like, can you really measure tempura like that?
Apparently.
Yes, you can now.
So then for the second round, we ended up doing, the katsu, the chicken katsu.
Oh, yeah.
Take it away, Sheila.
Chicken katsu is like, kind of like pub food in Japan. It's a deep fried chicken cutlet that's been breaded, and it's got a squiggle of barbecue sauce on it. Or some type of sauce. Sometimes
it's kind of a
teriyaki
spicy sauce. It was good.
So I was kind of interested to try this because I just imagined I have like little fantasies in my head playing of me being slightly tipsy on sake somewhere in Japan in a bar with Tracy and ordering the chicken katsu.
You should see the grin on her face right now as she describes this scene. It's
greasy,
so
delicious
cute.
Pub food in Japan. So, and the other reason why I wanted to order it was because it had been on my mind lately. We were watching this anime called Bamboo Blade, and it's all about this kendo school in Japan.
A kendo club.
A kendo club, yeah. And the one chick, her parents own a deli, and she brought chicken katsu for everybody for the big tournament. And I'm like, oh, chicken katsu. Anything deep fried can't be bad. That looks delicious. And it was.
Sheila was right. It was darn tasty. It came out really thin, really flat. Really,
it's like in the anime they actually called it schnitzel.
Yeah, the translation was schnitzel, but she said katsu because it was one of those ones that was subtitled at the bottom.
So when she was speaking, she said katsu, and the subtitle said schnitzel.
Yeah,
which it is technically correct, I think, because it's a thin piece of meat that's been breaded and fried, but it's not schnitzel in the European way that you would think.
No, but it was very similar to it.
It was.
It reminded me of some of the schnitzel I had in Germany, different meat and everything. But you know,
well, it's not pounded either to tenderize it.
No,
it's just cut really thin.
Yes, correct. But it reminded me of it because of the flatness and the crispy texture and everything. There were some similarities there.
Yeah.
And the one that we got was cut into thin strips. So it was very easy to eat with chopsticks.
Yeah, and it was very conducive to sharing.
Yes.
Which is
what it's meant for, really. But I would definitely, we will get that again when we go back to this place for sushi. Because it was darn tasty. And it actually kind of invigorated me a little bit to get brave and maybe try some of the other things on their appetizer
section. I really want to try, there's another Japanese pub food.
Yakitori?
Which is called yakitori. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's chicken on skewers.
Okay.
That's a picture of it there, right there, I think. And it's like usually grilled chicken.
Yeah, that is yakitori.
Okay. I didn't even see the text. I just saw the
skewers. Well, I realized in retrospect that we should have got some gyoza, too. Japanese dumplings.
They have a really, I must say, if you're getting anything out of this podcast for Sushi Mountain, great food, great selection, even for the lunch buffet.
Yeah.
Because they say over 100 items, they mean it, and even if you have a friend that's not into sushi, this is one of those places where you drag them along, and they can get all kinds of great stuff, because they had a bunch of udon noodle bowls, they have a bunch of rice bowls.
They have teriyakis.
The dumplings, the gyoza, as Tracy mentioned, and I think anybody, even if they weren't into sushi, would like the katsu or look like the yakitori.
And if their teriyaki is as good as the katsu was, it's probably phenomenal. I was very impressed with their non-sushi selection. I was expecting it to be either almost no sushi, it was kind of like a bait and switch, figured the non-sushi stuff would be meh, and it was really good. And they also have we'll do that at the end. I looked down and saw the ice cream, I'm like, oh! But back to what we ordered. So then we finished that off. We also had the sweet potato tempura, which was very good.
Oh yeah, the tempura was really good.
The sweet potato was thinly sliced, too.
Yeah.
I know we've had tempura before at random places. It has been really thick.
Here's your giant honking thing.
Well, it's cooked through, but it's very hard to eat. Yeah. So that was perfect.
It's not conducive to chopsticks.
And then the second round we ordered was just some more nigiri. That's when we had the yellowtail.
No, we actually had red snapper.
Red snapper, I'm sorry. We had the red snapper, and then we had some more salmon, and we had some tamago, and we had, the crab.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The crab and nigiri. Crab too. And now, if you are a connoisseur of fine sushi, and you are really picky, and you like it to look just perfect, don't go to Sushi Mountain, because and this isn't a bad thing, but you're too much of a snoozy snob. You're too much of a sushi snob to really enjoy it, because these guys are working at a breakneck pace.
I've never seen all three chefs working at the same time.
At one point, they had four guys behind the
counter. I've never actually seen three chefs at the same time.
And
usually, it's only two guys.
They were working their tails off to keep up, and they were doing a good job. But I know, like, some of the little seat belts that tie the stuff on weren't perfect, you know? Which is fine. It tastes great. It was still structurally sound, and it still went well. But I could see where somebody who's a true sushi snob going, oh, this is flawed.
And they keep calling it seat belts.
Yes. How dare they? I'm not listening to them again. Oh, and I didn't like the sushi there either. the podcast and the sushi flawed. No, it wasn't flawed. It just, you could tell they were working very quickly. And I would make this the equivalent of like getting like sushi fast food almost.
Yeah.
But it's
it was good
great.
Quality.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like there was any difference in the quality of ingredients between there and any other place I had. But you're right. You could tell that they were busy. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to keep up with the orders so that you weren't waiting too long.
And I also, the reason we described the table of the six hearty Russian guys is to give you perspective on that we were there in a time of day when they were, I think, stressed to a production point they aren't normally brought to. Yes, they can handle larger tables like that,
and
but
yes, they
it was
can
a
handle
large
full house.
Table of really big eaters.
All you ordering would think, the same thing at the same time.
Yes. You would think with them, six guys, maybe they would order four pieces of salmon nigiri. Maybe everybody doesn't like it. No, they ordered like 18.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of time to produce the same thing over and over and over in such a large quantity. They were probably more used to a slow trickle of food coming in.
Yeah, like a slow constant.
Instead of being slammed
steady, instead of just wham.
Exactly. So that's why we wanted to give you that perspective to understand that it's like fast sushi. It's, I don't know, Need for Speed sushi or something.
Tokyo Drift sushi?
Yes.
It's going to slide over onto your table.
But part of the reason we had that experience was because of the customer base at that time.
Yeah.
Now, if those tables had been broken up into three pairs of two people, and they were ordering our quantity of food, it wouldn't have been nearly as bad, I think, on the shelves.
Right.
Because it would have come in at different times. They had more time to wait.
That was a rather special
situation. Yes. So.
And the quality of the food didn't suffer at all. It just may not have been as prettily put together as it could have been.
Yeah.
But the taste still tasted great.
But our friend Rick had ordered a sushi platter from there before, which was gorgeous.
Yeah.
So that's what told me that it wasn't that they can't produce pretty sushi. It's just they were trying to keep up with the hungry Russians.
Yes. The Russians are coming. The Russians are coming.
Yeah.
Quick, throw them nigiri.
Yeah, pretty much. So, the help, I thought the waitresses were very nice.
Yeah.
As soon as we walked in, we asked, hey, how does this work? She was very patient, explained to us what we needed to fill out. If we wanted more, no problem, put the numbers here. Very friendly. They asked when we needed anything else.
Oh, one thing that there was some confusion on was the miso soup you don't get a spoon with.
Yes.
You drink it and you just pick the pieces out at the bottom with the chopsticks.
Yes. It was good, though. It was good miso. It wasn't too salty. I would be able to order it again, because I like miso, and that's about the only time I get it. I haven't had much luck with the dehydrated misos, and I'm not brave enough to do it all on my own yet. So, the soda surprised me. No, it's the standard thing in Canada where you get a can of soda. It doesn't come from a soda fountain. I think we've already established it's rare to see soda fountains in restaurants up here. That's how we can make our millions. Open up a soda fountain distribution and push it for small businesses. But they included the price of the soda with the buffet, which I was not expecting. I thought
that was a rather nice thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
They also had tea that you could order as well, which we did not get tea. I think next time I'll get tea instead of soda, but it was early and I needed the caffeine. I needed the caffeine and the fizzy. What else would you like to add? The prices were great.
Yeah.
If you go...
The prices were incredible.
If you go for lunch, it's $11.99. That's Monday through Thursday. If you go for dinner Monday through Thursday, it's $18.99. If you go for dinner on Friday through Sunday and a holiday, it's $19.99. Plus your applicable taxes. Which, if you're into sushi, you know this is a steal for good sushi. And this is good sushi.
Yeah, it is.
This is not, like, going to, like, Mandarin and getting their California rolls on the buffet. This is really good sushi.
Yeah.
And you get the great selection of appetizers and everything else that go with it. They also
have... And the dinner selection is even bigger, I think.
Yeah. The dinner selection's huge. That's when they bust out all the house special rolls. That's when they pull out the spider rolls and...
The barbecue eel rolls.
Yeah, the rainbow roll. We had rainbow rolls before, and they're great.
So yeah.
And they pull out all the hand rolls, and they put the put sashimi on the menu, too, which sashimi sushi without the rice, onigiri without the rice, pretty much. Which there was not any sashimi on the menu. I like sashimi, but I'm not a huge fan of it. I'm more of a fan of nigiri, so that didn't bother me as much.
Right. I like the balance better of the nigiri, but, I mean, it's a viable choice.
Well, there's sometimes I'm in the mood for it, but today I was kind of I could take it or leave it. If it's not there, it's not going to upset me. So that's fine. They do have ice cream for dessert, because after we were ready to leave, she pops up before the bill. She's like, do you want any ice cream? We're like, oh, God, no. Because we just stuffed the gills.
Yeah.
They have a green tea, ginger, and vanilla ice cream. I think she said they have mango now, too.
Yeah, she did say mango.
So the next time we go, we'll have to bring the applicable lactate for me. Yay!
I think I would actually maybe want to try the ginger ice cream. I've got turned on to ginger recently.
Mm-hmm.
I got these little candies called Chimes Chews. They're little ginger, it's like ginger taffy, kind of.
Mm-hmm. More like toffee. It reminds me a lot of the toffee you got from the English place.
Oh, yeah.
But ginger flavored, not caramel flavored. One of the things I do want to try at Sushi Mountain before we completely jump off the topic is they have a sushi pizza, and it's a crispy rice base topped with spicy sauce, fish, egg, maybe it's fish egg, green onion, and salmon. They don't have commas there, but...
It's probably fish roe.
I'm thinking maybe fish roe, but it sounds kind of good, actually, for an appetizer to check out. So, but Sushi Mountain, awesome place. They do have a liquor license, so you can get tasty adult beverages there, too.
Yeah, they have the...
I know they have sake.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have beer or not.
They had Science for Karen, but I don't know if they had it or not. But they had the Pocket Zero sake.
And the next best thing about it is if you don't want to go there to eat, and you want to take something home, or you need like an appetizer tray for a potluck party or something, it's too bad you're all going to get this after the holidays. Haha. They do party trays for takeout. And the party trays are so reasonably priced, and they're really of a very high quality. There's five of them total. They range from $29.95 up to $100. Most of them are under $50, though. The first three are under $50, and they're between 44 pieces to 120 pieces.
That's a lot of sushi.
It's a great variety. Rick got one. We sampled his leftovers when he had it the second day. He's like, I have to finish the sushi.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic. So, and if you pay cash when you go for your takeout order, and it's over $20, you get 10% off. So just like the sushi place in Aurelia that would give you a discount if you paid with cash, these guys, if you're going for your takeout, they'll give you a discount with cash. So, you know, you go for the $29.95 or the $35.95 sushi platter for two people with the discount. That's a really good takeout
meal. It's like it almost takes care of the tax for you.
Yeah, and you almost have sushi for the next day.
If you can stay away from it.
Yeah, that's true. Or three people even who aren't huge eaters.
Yeah.
Because I would think, you know, me, you, and Rick could probably finish off one of those platters as one meal. And maybe even have a touch left over.
Mm.
So, scale of 1 to 5 of fullness. We'll use the Patrick scale because Aaron doesn't like sushi. Though Aaron, I think we need a lot of the other stuff.
Yeah, I think he'd be okay with eating like the barbecue chicken and things.
It's a 5 because it's a buffet. They'll bring you as much as you want. And I think we could stuff Aaron full of noodles and the chicken and the tempura and the teriyaki. And I think he'd be very happy with that.
Yeah.
So, and we have a couple other little bits to toss on at the end of this because it's my birthday and we kind of gallivanted around a little bit. It was a total accident on the way back. We were trying to figure out how to get from Sushi Mountain to Best Buy, and we went down
Anderson Street, I think.
Street. And we passed a little chocolate place. And Sheila said, oh yeah, I forgot about that.
I forgot that existed.
What's it called again?
Williams.
Williams Chocolate.
Chocolate Factory. And it's open to the public.
And it reminded me, for those of you from the Beaver County area, of Anderson's Candy.
Yeah, which is funny, because it was Williams on Anderson.
Anderson, yeah. I didn't even think of that. And Anderson's in Beaver County is this awesome, like, chocolate manufacturer. They're small. It's a small business, and they do really, I guess, high qualities. Not, like, insanely high quality, but it's, like, good chocolate.
Gourmet
chocolate. You would get it for, like, Christmas and Easter. We used to always order big chocolate eggs from them from Easter.
Yeah.
Because the band would sell it. The Ambridge Band would always do, like, Easter orders. And Anderson's is also notorious for making candy bars for fundraisers for clubs. And then you can sell the candy bars, and it usually has like a little coupon on the back for something kind of thing.
And they have amazing chocolate-covered pretzels.
They do. So we found this place, Williams, which Sheila's like, oh yeah, and really cute little place. It's not huge inside. They had a good selection, lots of Christmas stuff out. I want to go back for Easter and see what kind of Easter stuff they put out.
Yeah, because they do different eggs. Stuff for seasonal.
Yeah, you could tell a lot of their stock was seasonal in there. And we ended up getting some truffles to try. And we had the Grand Marnier, the raspberry, and the amaretto.
Yeah.
And they were all really good.
Yeah. And Tracy kept saying, as we're eating it, chomp, 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 this chocolate is so snappy. It's tempered perfectly. Snap, snap, chomp, chomp. Well, it's true. It wasn't all soft and mushy and gross.
With a truffle, I almost like a snappier chocolate, because then you don't... You can tell the difference between the chocolate itself and the ganache inside.
Yeah.
It doesn't all just kind of blend together, and you don't know where one ends and the other begins. You get that, too, the two different textures and the two different tastes. It's a little more, better divided.
Yeah.
So that's why I was so excited. I'm like, ooh, they're nice snappy truffles.
She said it with every bite.
I said it, like, once or twice. Little Miss, I'm going to exaggerate.
Exaggeration!
And we have a horror story, too, we want to talk about. This is more of a tale of caution, and we'll put the link up to this, too. Or a link up to a video, rather. Not for the faint-hearted. This is not something that was at Sushi Mountain. Don't worry, you don't have to worry about it there.
Oh, you're going to talk about that.
I am, because they need to know. Because somebody could say, hey, sashimi, I'll try it.
Yeah.
I never knew what lobster sashimi was. So, I was reading a thread on a message forum that I frequent, and somebody, a gentleman on there, had related his lobster sashimi story. He had gone out to eat, and it was a special occasion, and he decided to get the lobster sashimi to try, and it comes out with the lobster on the plate. And what they do is they cut the tail off, and they pull the tail meat out, and they'd actually cut it up into a nice design for him for the tail meat, so it was easy to eat. And they just leave the rest of the lobster on the plate for you, like as a garnish. So he ate it, and he said, oh, it was great. And I'm still a little squeamish of raw shellfish.
Yeah.
I've never had sashimi or sushi where the shellfish was actually raw. I've always had the cooked stuff.
The cooked stuff, yeah.
So I'm still a little nervous
about
it.
I had oysters raw. They're okay, but they're really slimy.
Yeah.
It's like eating snot.
Yeah. But I'm
still
nervous.
I know that that's some people's favorite thing, and that's fine, but it's not for me.
I would probably try lobster once as sashimi, but probably not after this. Or I would have, but not after this. So, he has had many lobsters, and he thought, hey, there's usually some pretty good meat in the lobster body, too. Let me see what I can get out of this. So he goes to grab the lobster itself to pull the rest of the meat out of it, and it moved when he poked it. And his girlfriend freaks out, and he's like, no, no, it was just a reaction from the cold and the nerves. And then he thinks about it, and he's like, no, no, it was alive.
Yeah.
And confirmation online reveals, yes, indeed. Lobster sashimi, when served properly, is served living. They rip the tail off, they cut out the meat for you, and they serve it with the rest, the other half of the lobster still live on the plate. So it's,
you're eating it while it's still alive.
Yes, it's... I mean, some people have moral compunctions about eating lobster, period, because you have to cook it and boil it alive and everything. And I think, wow, that makes boiling it alive look kind of tame.
Humane, even.
Mm-hmm. It makes you think of the Hannibal Lecter scene from Hannibal, where he's serving the brain to the lawyer.
Yeah, and I realize that a lobster is an insect, and I have no problem at all cooking them, you know, to dispatch them, or taking the chef's knife and splitting their head and killing them instantly. No problem. But this is too much like pulling the wings off of a fly and watching it suffer.
Yeah, just pull the legs off and eat them one by one. That would freak me out. And there are videos online of YouTube, and this is real. This isn't like an internet myth or something.
Yeah.
This is how it's supposed to be eaten. And it reminds me of stories the Germans told me about in China. Some folks I knew who were German, that they had gone to a dinner where one of the dishes they had been served were shrimp live that
were
tossed into
shrimp.
A bowl of booze, and they swim around and got drunk, and you're supposed to fish them out and eat them live.
And they're still alive. They're just drunk.
And when you go to Chinese dinners like that, you really can't say no to most of the food, because it's kind of an insult if you do.
Yeah.
You can get off on one or two things not eating it, but usually you have to try a little bit of everything. And
so say your no for the drunk alive shrimp.
Yeah, they had to cowboy up and eat the drunk alive shrimp. That's actually after that story. We're like, we'll save our no's for the things that are really horrifying, like the bisected duck heads, you know, that kind of thing. So, a word of caution, if you see lobster sashimi on the menu, if you're adventurous, go for it, but we just want to make sure you know what it is.
Yeah, because I'd never really heard of it, and I'd never really thought of it, and it never had ever crossed my mind, whenever you see shellfish sashimi listed, that it would be raw shellfish, and that it would still be alive.
Yes. The only living food I like is my yogurt.
Yes.
I love raw fish, I love rare steak, but I'd like it all to be dead before I eat it.
Dispatched humanely, please.
Yes, you know, maybe some living yeast in my beer if it just carbonated, but that, other than that, that's
so
it.
So beneficial microbes, yay. Living lobster, nay.
So, this is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Zwei Fat Chicks. Thanks for listening. Oh yeah, and one more thing.
Because we forgot.
To pay at Sushi Mountain, you can use cash or card.
Yes. Yeah. Interact or Visa. So you have a lot of options to pay. We forgot to put that in the beginning. And also, we'd like to add, when you look at the menu, the buffet prices, they don't list the Sunday lunch buffet. So we can only assume, because we're not there to ask, that on Sundays, it's full price all day. Yeah. So just be aware of that if you're heading out for a Sunday after church lunch, that you may be paying $20 for your sushi instead of $20. So,
just saying.
Just saying, just in case. Well, thank you very much. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this Five Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on MySpace and or Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. Please email your comments, questions, or suggestions to zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod. Our podcasts, like Mr. MacLeod's music, are protected under a Creative Commons attribute copyright. You can make copies of our shows and share them with friends, but please make sure that credit is given. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and we hope you have a great day.